I think we probably get more of our theology from the songs we sing than we should, compared to from God's Word, but this is one of those that comes directly from God's Word, so it's good. In Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, we thank You for this day that You have provided, that You have protected us, this day that we know forgiveness of our sins because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done on the cross. Lord, we thank You for all that You are and all that You've done and all that You've given us, not the least of which is Your tender mercies and Your never-ending grace. Thank You for our friends and family with whom we've gathered here today. And thank You for the most awesome gospel. May it be the center of this gathering. May it all be about Jesus. May it all be about His gospel. May it all be about Your perfect will, Your kingdom, and Your glory. May Your name be upheld above all else here today and in our lives. Because it is You who have given us so much. It is You who has forgiven us of so much. And it is You who is worthy of all the praise and glory and honor that we can give You. As always, Lord, we ask that You bless this time, that we might be molded into the likeness of Christ as a result of it, and walk out of here realizing, better than we walked in, just how awesome our God truly is. For it's in Christ's name, as always, we gather. It's in His name that we sing praises. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning again. We read this morning from Matthew chapter 11 about how Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We've been talking about joy for several weeks. We've been talking about the things that rob us of our joy. We've been trying to discover that so that we'd be aware of it. We need to be aware that we have an enemy who wants to pervade and bring the joy out of your and my life because it brings glory to God, and He doesn't want us to have that, and He is the enemy of God. We need to understand that there are people in this world who have the mindset of trying to take your joy, and we shouldn't let that happen. We've also been talking about reasons to have joy, and there are innumerable reasons to have joy and ways to focus on that. The whole idea is to be filled with, controlled by, driven by the joy that is our salvation and knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I must share with you that the whole reason for it, what God has been laying on my heart for months now, the reason we're spending this much time on this subject is there is an unfortunate absence of it. As I look at people around the world, as I see people in my life and the people around us, there is an absence of joy. There is an absence of what ought to be a slam dunk, a two-foot putt, just an easy, gimme amount of joy. There is an absence of it, and it's unfortunate. And I don't think that's God's will for you and me. I don't think that's God's will. I think He wants us to have joy. I think He wants us to be filled with His joy. But all too often we hear, and all too often we say, "I'm under too much pressure to be controlled by joy. I'm under too much stress to be controlled by joy. I've got a lot on me. I've got too much on me to be filled with joy." I wonder this morning, does that describe you? Would you have to admit, if you were being perfectly honest, that the best way to describe yourself is, "Well, I got a lot on me. I'm dealing with a lot." Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke," says Jesus, "upon you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls." Jesus Christ says simply, "For my yoke," Jesus' yoke, "is easy And my burden, Jesus' burden, is light. Yet many of us, if we were honest, we have to confess, we say a lot of the times, I am heavily burdened. And even if we're not saying it, we're thinking it, we're feeling it, we're living like it. What's the problem? First thing I want to tell you this morning, and it's pretty straightforward, and maybe if you don't get anything else, get this. Number one, listen to me. If your life is just hard, if life is just hard, then it's not just Christ. If life is just hard, then it's not just Christ. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. We act like we have a heavy burden on us. We either have one or two things going on. We've either have Christ's yoke on us, and you get the word picture, right? The yoke that holds together two oxen or two donkeys or two horses or two cows or whatever the case may be, where they pull and do work for whoever has put that yoke on them. We either have multiple yokes on us is the reason the burden is so heavy, or we have the wrong yoke on us, and that's why the burden is so heavy. You either have some other yokes on you, or you have a yoke on you that shouldn't be there, and it's not Jesus's. The word here that is translated yoke is actually band. And when I think of, and maybe you did too, the term band, I think of the wedding band, right? You know, that's on your finger. And he says, my band is easy, my band, the burden is light. Okay, you would never, if you're married, and most of us are, you would never wear several other bands on this finger along with it. First of all, my wife would not tolerate that. All right, my burden would not be easy at that point if I start to wear other bands on this finger along with this one. And secondly, I wouldn't wear a band from somebody else on that finger. That's even worse. Your burden's going to get heavy. The band that we should be carrying, the yoke that should be on us should be Christ and Christ alone. And we should not be carrying other burdens along with it. That's why we're so heavily burdened. It's either the wrong one or too many of them. To take on Christ's yoke is to commit ourselves to the universal obedience to Him and Him alone. I want to read to you a short excerpt from a sermon that was preached in 1861 by an evangelist named Charles Finney. It's 155 years old now almost, but it's timeless enough to be very timely at this point. To whom is the yoke of Christ easy? Not to the hypocrite who only professes to take it, but does not in fact love the Savior. There are many who profess to be religious and to be servants of Christ, who are continually complaining of the severity of the servitude. To them, His commandments are grievous. His yoke is heavy, unendurable. Christ's yoke is not easy to the selfish, who only take it outwardly from fear or hope of reward. There are many who profess to be Christians who have no true love to Christ Himself, no true sympathy with Him, so, consequently, they have no joy in His service, no pleasure in it for its own sake. They have undertaken to be religious simply to secure something for themselves, and they work hard to make something of it. But they do not find Christ's yoke easy, because it is not a spontaneous love service. It is not that course of life which, above all others, they must choose because they love the Savior supremely, but it is something which they must comply with as a condition of being saved. It will not do to lose their souls, therefore they must be religious at any rate, though they find it exceedingly hard to be so. But this is not Christ's yoke. This is not a love service. This band is not a band of love that binds them to the cross of Christ. Then let it be understood that Christ's real yoke, or the true service of Christ, is never hard. It's hard, not for Him. If it's heavy, it's not His yoke. His real yoke is never burdensome. What we call religion can be burdensome. If it's not Christ's yoke, if it's not Christ's religion, if we find it, whatever it is, it can be religion, it can be life, it can be work, it can be marriage, it can be children. If we find it to be an uphill battle, if we find it hard to obey the commands of God's Word, if we find it harder still to do it in and out of love, it is not Jesus Christ's burden. It's something else that we're trying to carry. And that's not what he wants. Not what he wants for any of you. Not what he wants for any of his children. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden's light. As I was putting this sermon together, by the grace of God, it came to me that it was a lot like one of those Sour Patch Kid candies. Maybe you've seen the commercial, maybe you've tried one. They're sour at first, and then they get sweet after you've been chewing on them a while. And somebody let me know that you understand what I'm saying. That's the sour part. It's over. Let's get to the sweet part. Y'all ready? I want to help you find and live in and just be controlled by the joy that we're supposed to have that brings glory to God. And based on what Jesus has said and God's Word, let me give you a couple of things. Number one, discipline yourself. Embrace the discipline to celebrate. It's not all work all the time. Can I tell you that celebrating God's goodness is in the very nature of God Himself. In the creation, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, you know how it goes. He did some work and then He took a moment to step back and say, that's good. That's good right there. I don't care who you are. That's good. And then he works some more and he steps back and he celebrates. Oh, that's good. That's good. It's God's nature to celebrate. And it should be our nature to do the very same thing. We've been studying the book of Deuteronomy meticulously through Wednesday and Sunday nights in Bible study. And a lot of the things that we've learned and going through verse by verse, I think it's good to cover an important book of the Old Testament that Jesus quoted dozens of times and to understand it. But one thing that we've learned from it is the very character of God. This is what He is saying to His children. Listen, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to not do. And you learn a lot about who He is and what He does. You learn a lot about the very nature of God. And in Deuteronomy chapter 16, just a few weeks ago, we learned that He commanded them, ever so often, I want you to celebrate. Ever so often, I want you to stop and do the festival of Pentecost. Ever so often, I want you to have the feast of the tabernacles. Ever so often, I want you to have this feast. Ever so often, you need to just celebrate. To remember what I've done, for sure. But it is in my nature and my will for you to celebrate what I have done because I am your God and I love you. Now, we still do that. We're about to get into some heavy season of that. There's Thanksgiving. There's Christmas in a few months. It'll be here before you know it, Easter. It's good to get together and celebrate. I want to demonstrate that, if I may, from something in the Bible. Nehemiah chapter 8. If you want to flip over there with me, I think it'd be good. Where we are in Matthew, in the beginning of the Bible, is just about halfway in between. Nehemiah chapter 8. What's going on as you're flipping there? Nehemiah is the governor who's been sent there by the king. He's an Israelite. And Ezra is there. He's the prophet or the priest in the situation. They've been working. They've been building the walls back around Jerusalem. And so we arrive here in Nehemiah chapter 8. And I'm going to begin in verse 5 in Nehemiah chapter 8. It tells us this. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. Now picture this in your mind. He was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen, Amen. Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. You understand what's going on there? Ezra opens up God's Word, and he's standing up just a little higher than everybody else so they can see him, so they can hear him. And he reads God's Word, God's awesome and powerful and perfect Word, and the people go, Amen, Amen, brother. They're having church. All right, it's just that simple. It's not that hard to imagine. And then they worshiped the Lord. Skipping down to verse 8, it says, they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. You understand what's going on here? They're not just reading the Word. They're preaching sermons here. They're having an actual service. They're making it sure that everybody can understand it, and they're preaching on the Word. Verse 9, then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to them all, this day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice foods and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So they continued to read it, tells us, and some of them began to weep at the reading of the word. It tells us they got their toes stepped on just a little bit. We've all been there from time to time. It was a little bit convicting of them as they were hearing God's word. Like, well, I'm not exactly living that part of my life the way I should. And they read a little bit further. Well, I probably ought to be doing better in that situation. They got their toes stepped on and they began to weep and they were humbled before the Lord their God. And Nehemiah stands up and says, wait a minute, folks, I understand. But you need to understand that this is a good thing. This is a good thing that we have God's word to tell us how to live. This is a good thing that we have God's word to correct us so we don't go astray. It is a good thing that we've been humbled before the Lord today and are repenting before Him. This is an awesome occasion where we have encountered the Holy God and He's going to touch us through it. This is a reason to celebrate. Don't weep. Nehemiah says, get out some food and drink. What Nehemiah says is, fire up the grill, crank up the jukebox, and pour me something to drink. Let's celebrate God's goodness on us here today. Let's have a party. Celebrate. It's God's nature. To be sure, some of them didn't feel like it, as a lot of times we don't. But they were instructed to, and it was good for them to do so. I think the same applies to us. Celebrate on some level every day. Celebrate on every level some days. But celebrate. There's much to be dismayed about. There's a lot in this world to be disheartened about. Can I get amen? There's a lot to be discouraged about. But there's also a lot to celebrate. Our God is God in feast and famine. Our God is to be delighted in all the time. And even though there's a lot to be dismayed about and disheartened about, there is more to be glad about and to celebrate. And quite frankly, Jesus Christ died on the cross and has conquered all. And He lives in you and me. What I have to celebrate is a lot greater and is a lot more important than what I have to be negative about. No matter what's going on with you, no matter where you are at this point in your life, if you know Jesus Christ and His forgiveness, if you know Jesus Christ and His power and love, if you know Jesus Christ, if it is His yoke that you bear, then there's something to celebrate every day. And we should do it. Second thing, laugh. That's real simple. I mean, it doesn't get much easier than that. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean laugh. Laughter is a gift from God to help you and I cope with the ridiculousness of this world. You know the story how they all got off the ark. Noah's family did, and they began to be fruitful and multiply, and there was a bunch of them. Then they was going to build a tower, the Tower of Babel. They're going to build it all the way to heaven. And God said, no, we're not going to do that. So he confused their languages, and he created different languages and dispersed them based on that. You know, today there are over 7,000 different languages spoken in this world. And laughter is a part of 100% of them. God created all the different languages. God incorporated laughter into every single one of them. Conclusion, God wants you and I to laugh. It's part of His plan for you and me. And it's something that we ought to do. It's good medicine. I don't even have to just say that. I can prove it biblically. Laughter is a gift from God. We're just going to go through these. Just keep going. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Cheerful heart's good medicine. Job 8:21. He will fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. Psalm 16:11 says, you have made known to me, God, the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. And finally, Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. See what happens when we're filled with joy and we're filled with laughter and we're filled with good attitudes? The people start saying, wow, God's been good to them. The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. Laugh. Don't take yourself so seriously. None of the rest of us are taking you very seriously. Good to laugh. I was, as many of you know, officiate sports contests. And referee games of all kinds, and this sort of thing happens from time to time. But just a few weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, was walking off the football field and having finished the game, and there's five of us, and as we're going through the gate, there was a couple of fans that had intentionally made their way all the way down out of the stands and followed us all the way to the gate and was giving us, you know how it goes, I can't believe you, and you run in, and the game wasn't even close. And we're not aware of anything that was decisive done by any of us. It was just, but boy, these two fellas were absolutely livid, and they followed us and chased us, and language, and you get the picture, just letting us have it. And you are awful, not right. And I don't know why it struck me this way at this point, but I just started laughing. Okay, it just struck me funny. It's just a ball game. First of all, it's a JV ball game. It doesn't count, and I couldn't help it. I just started belly laughing. By the way, that didn't help in that situation. Okay, they did not get it. I don't see how you laugh. You got anyway, but it just struck me funny. And the one of the five of us that was in the back, it probably made things worse for him because they just shifted into second gear. But we got in the car and I told the rest of the officials, I said, guys, I'm sorry. That just struck me funny because that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever witnessed. It was just funny. Laugh. It'll help you cope. I wish I could say that I've always been able to do that. You know, stuff like that used to really bother me. But by the grace of God, praise to His name, He continues to work on me, and all of us for that matter, and mature us to where we get more like Him every single day. I heard a preacher on the radio this morning. I listened to the same guy coming to church every Sunday morning, and because, you know, I benefit from it. It gets me in the right frame of mind, and I like listening to him. And he's strong fundamentalist, bless his heart. And after the cursory obligatory 10-15 minutes of saying how the King James Bible is the only one anybody ought to ever read, period, end of story, he said, oh, and another thing, the Lord's Supper is supposed to be given at night. It ought to be done on Sunday night. If he wanted it done in the morning, he would have called it the Lord's Breakfast. And I couldn't help but just laugh. Bless his heart. That's just funny. First of all, Jesus didn't call it the Lord's Supper. We did. It was just a meal. But you get the point. Sometimes you just got to laugh. Maybe not in people's faces, but you get the point. Don't take everything so seriously. I'm sorry for what I got to do, but I can't be stupid. And here Wednesday night, I went downstairs. All these dozens of children around, and they're laughing, and they're playing, and they're singing. And they're having a good time, watching, they're running around, and they're dancing, and it's all in the Lord, don't get it wrong, it's not just putting our feet in, but absolutely getting to do a lot of work. And I just watched them for a while, and I just think, what's on their mind? What burden are they carrying today? Do you think there's a single one of them that is in any way concerned with the historical accuracy of Ben Carson's autobiography? Do you think there's any chance that any of them are concerned about that? Do you think any of them are giving a second thought at this moment to climate change? Do you think any of them are at all worried about whether or not the administration of the University of Missouri is handling all this properly? They're not saddling that yoke. Not only are you going to like it, but I'll give you rest. I want to read once more the passage from Isaiah that we read earlier. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 and 4. When he said this, did Isaiah, God's word he spoke, he said, listen to me, O house of Jacob, my children, all you who remain in the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, that's you and me, folks, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am He. I am He who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Let me ask you a question this morning. If God's carrying me, what have I got to carry? Nothing. He's carrying whatever's on me too. Last thing, and this is how we wind it up. You and I, every single one of us, we do have a choice. We act like we don't have any choice in the matter. I've got to be burdened. I've got to be saddled. I've got to... No, you don't. No. We do have a choice. When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school tomorrow, when you go to your home tonight, you and I have a choice. You can be the one who brings the room down, or you have a choice. You can be the one who brings the room up. We all have that choice. You can follow the lead of the ruler of this age, or you and I can follow Jesus Christ. We have the choice. We can carry all the burdens that the enemy would like to place on us, or we can simply carry the yoke of Jesus. We have that choice. Pretty easy choice. Amen? Pray with me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, first of all, that Your burden is easy. That You have not put anything on us, Lord, except the forgiveness of our sins, except the promise of eternal life, except the power of Your Holy Spirit. Your yoke is easy, and we thank You for that. Lord, we just pray that You'd help us to recognize what we're trying to bear, what we're trying to carry, what we're trying to pull that is not Yours, and thus not Your will that we have on us. Help us to recognize it. Help us to single it out. Help us to see it. And help us to shed ourselves of it, Lord. We can't do it without You. We wouldn't want to if we could, because we belong to You. And we like that because You've promised that You are He who will sustain us and will rescue us. Some of us need to be rescued, Lord, from ourselves and the burdens that we place on us. Some of us need to be rescued, Lord, from the obligations of this world that we think we have to take on when we truly don't, that rob our joy. Some of us, Lord, just need to be rescued from the burden of our sin. And You are the only one that can do that. Lord, if there's anybody here today in this room that needs that, that needs forgiveness of their sins, I pray that they would come and receive that from You today. And finally, Lord, we praise You. We thank You for the gift of celebration. May we be ever mindful that there's always much to celebrate because we belong to You. And we thank You for the gift of laughter. We believe that that is a gift from You as well. And it is good for our hearts and it is good for our souls. And You've told us that. May we live lives that make other people turn and say, "Wow, I want whatever it is they've got. I want to be whoever it is they are. I want to know the Savior that they know." That'd be good, Lord. So we ask for it as always. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Just a time of invitation. Whatever God's laid on your heart, you need to lay down. Whatever it is you need to give up, I'll pray.